If you drive down any state highway, you barely notice the signs. For instance, welcome to Illinois, live in Missouri, city limits. We live surrounded by lines drawn on maps, borders that dictate where one jurisdiction ends and another begins, where laws change, where taxes shift, and who belongs to which community. We are experts at drawing lines. But human beings don't just draw lines on dirt. We draw them across human hearts. We draw lines between us and them. The worthy and the unworthy, the insider and the outsider, the non-immigrant and the immigrant. And the tragedy is how easily we project those same lines onto heaven, wondering if God's grace has a boundary line that stops just short of where we are standing. If you have ever felt like an outsider, standing on the wrong line or side of the line, today's readings were written for you. They lean toward you. They stretch out their hands. They whisper, "You belong." Psalm 67 opens with a prayer that is both intimate and expansive. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Notice the psalmist point. God doesn't bless us to build a vault. He blesses us to extend a breach. His grace to us is meant for the whole world, no exceptions. To understand what the psalmist is talking about, look at the geography of the Holy Land. In Israel, two major bodies of water are fed by the very same river, the Jordan. Up north, you have the Sea of Galilee. It receives fresh water from the river, but it doesn't hold on to it. It lets the water flow out through its southern bank. Because the water moves and flows, Galilee is bursting with life, full of fish, surrounded by green hills and vibrant towns. Follow the same river south, and it empties into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea takes water in, but it has no outlet. It holds every drop, trapping it under the hot sun. Over time, as the water evaporates and leaves behind heavy minerals, it turns so dense and salty that nothing can live in it. No fish swim there. No trees grow along its shores. It is stagnant and lifeless. That is the exact difference between a cistern and a pipeline. A cistern, like the Dead Sea, it's designed to collect, hoard, and hold onto every drop. Many of us approach God's grace like a cistern. I pronounce it well? Good, good. Lord, bless my family, secure my finances, protect my peace, keep our church comfortable. But God never intended us to be dead and cisterns. He designed us to be pipelines, like the Sea of Galilee, where his blessings flows to us so it can freely flow through us. When we try to hoard grace, our spiritual lives grow still. But when we let it flow out to others, it stays fresh, alive, and life-giving. In today's gospel, Jesus takes the pipeline vision off the page and walks in a straight across the border into foreign territory. Matthew tells us that Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. These were ancient pagan cities with a long, bitter history of conflict with Israel. By stepping here, Jesus entered outsider territory, and immediately an outsider steps forward, a Canaanite woman. Now pay attention to this. Consider the barriers stuck against her. She is a woman in a male-dominated culture. She is an ancestral enemy of Israel. Her daughter is suffering terribly under demon oppression. And yet, she cries out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." She sees who Jesus is, even when the insiders miss it. What happened next? It's deeply uncomfortable. Jesus responds with silence. The disciples, annoyed by her persistence, they ask Jesus to send her away. And when Jesus finally speaks, he voices the prevailing religious boundary of his day. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." I don't know you, but when I read for my first time this during my teenager time, I was in shock. It's Jesus being cruel? No. He is naming the boundary so he can break it. He is voicing the unspoken prejudices of the culture so he can shatter them. He is testing her faith, not to put her away, but to reveal its incredible depth to everyone watching. And now, watch her response. She doesn't turn away in offense. She doesn't defend her resume. She kneels, looks him in the eye, and says, "Yes, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Wow. This is one of the Bible's most brilliant replies. She essentially says, "Lord, I don't need to take the children's place. I just know who you are. Your grace is so abundant, so overwhelming that even a leftover crumb from your table carries more than enough power to heal my daughter. And Jesus marvels, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed that very hour. Brothers and sisters, this outsider understood what Psalm 67 proclaimed. God's grace cannot be contained within human borders. She knew Jesus' mercy was big enough for her, her daughter, and the whole world. Take a breath. Let your shoulders soften. Let your spirit settle into the truth that God's welcome is not fragile, not conditional, and not reserved for the polished or the perfect. Where have you felt like a cistern lately, holding tight, guarding your energy, fearing that if you give too much away, there won't be enough left for you? Where might God be inviting you to become a pipeline again? Open, flowing, generous, trusting that grace replenishes as it pours? And where have you felt Jesus' silence? Where have you prayed for a child, a marriage, a health diagnosis, or a burden, only to feel like your words were falling into an empty sky? Let the Canaanite woman guide you. She keeps coming. She keeps kneeling. She keeps trusting. Her persistence is not desperation. It is faith that knows the character of the one she is asking. God's silence is never absence. God's delay is never disinterest. God's heart is always leaning toward you. I am reminded of a story from a severe famine in Eastern Europe, where a wealthy baker placed a box of fresh bread on his porch every afternoon for local families. Hungry children rushed forward, pushing and shoving for the largest. Softed piece of bread. But a little girl named Gretchen waited quietly at the back every single day. Day after day, she received only the smallest dusty crust that was left behind. Still, she smiled, thanked the baker, and carried it home. One evening, Gretchen's mother cut into the stale crust and found five shiny silver coins tucked inside, along with a note from the baker. To the child content with the crumbs and whose heart is filled with gratitude, these coins are for you. Buy seed for your family and share what is left with your neighbors. Friends, that Canaanite woman stood at the back of the line. She was an outsider who had not seat at the table, but she knew who the baker was. She knew that even a crumb from the hand of Jesus held more life, power, and hope than the greatest feast the world could ever offer. We have not been given the bread of life just to sit safely inside the bakery, enjoying the smell of the fresh bread while the world outside starves. We carry a grace so overflowing that even its crumbs can heal a broken life and transform our neighborhood. So as we leave this place today, I give you four things that you can practice. Examine your boundaries. Who have you quietly decided is too far gone or beyond the reach of grace? Step across those lines this week. Second, pray with persistent faith. When answers seem delayed, keep coming, keep knocking, and keep trusting the heart of God. Third, live as a pipeline, not a cistern. God has shown his face on you, not so you can hide the light, but so it can be, it can shine through you into a hurting world. And finally, look for the outsider and share the bread. My brother, my sister, grace without borders, faith without ceilings. And the people of God say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your mercy and compassion that is equally for everyone without distinction. Help us not make distinctions in this world. In Jesus' name.